In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we have a double feast today. It is the Sunday of the Cross, the third Sunday of Great Lent. And also, of course, it is the day of the Annunciation, March 25th. But I want to speak about the cross today because it is central to our life. And sometimes in the scriptures, things are said that seem, why is that there? Sometimes very abrupt changes are made. All of a sudden something is said that is not part of the previous context, or perhaps it is. That's what happened today, and I want to talk about it because I think it's quite important. The Lord is telling his disciples that if they are going to come unto him, they have to deny themselves. And then he goes and says several times forcefully various things. You must deny yourself, take up your cross. If you save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, you'll save it. What good is it if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So basically four times he says something very forceful about the cross. And he goes and says a couple more things that are related. And then he says, verily I say to you, that there shall be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now what does that have to do with the cross? He's speaking that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross. Indeed we must. Anybody who says they're a Christian and does not deny themselves, they're not a Christian. They say they are, but internally they aren't. So why does he say this? It's not related, or is it? I think it is. Well, after this statement, immediately comes the transfiguration. So the fulfillment of that statement is that he went up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and they saw him transfigured as he really is. Because when he was among men, he shielded them from his true essence, because it was too powerful, too blinding for man, too stupefying, too frightening. But when he went up onto the mountain, Mount Tabor, he showed himself as he is, with the uncreated light of God streaming from him. And we see what happened to the apostles. But the reason why that happened was to get them ready for his crucifixion, because it was upcoming, it was very close. And the reason why he says, after all these statements about the cross, all these commandments about the cross, doesn't matter if they're not well followed, they are commandments. We must deny ourselves. We must, in order to find eternal life. After all those commandments, he says, there are some standing here which shall not die until they see the kingdom of God come with power. This is not only about the three disciples that were going to see him transfigured on the mountain only a short time after that, but it's also that we have that power. We will see that power. And to some extent, during our life, we will experience that power. It's very necessary to feel the power of God in you, to see God working in your life, because taking up the cross is a difficult task. The world doesn't want to take up a cross. The world wants to say everything's okay. Everything's allowed, except saying things are not allowed. That's the world's mantra. That's the world's religion. We see that, especially playing out politically now. And it will become illegal, eventually, in my opinion, to actually say the truth. It already is in various parts of the world. It'll be difficult to take up our cross. And so, there'll be times when we're very depressed, times when we're very despondent, when we wonder, like Elias, are there any good men in the world that have not bowed the knee to Baal? But there are. And the Lord will always show his power to us if we are humble and open to him. And so that's why that statement is there at the end. Because taking up the cross is not easy. Christianity is not easy. Now, the Lord says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and that is true. But the reason why Christianity is not easy for us at the beginning is because we don't want to have that yoke on us. We might say we do, but our actions show differently. And so we chafe against the yoke, and it is difficult for us to deny ourselves. It's hard for us not to be irritable, to be angry, to be lustful, to judge others, to be lazy. It's difficult for us to pray. It's a lot easier to watch TV or play cards. It's hard to read the scriptures. They seem difficult to understand, and we always seem to have something else we'll do rather than read the scriptures. Denying ourselves is difficult. Now, it becomes easier as the power of God is manifested in our life. I can even say that for my poor sinful self. Things that were hard to do in the past are easy to do now. Things that were hard to stop, I don't really think about anymore. Because God has given me consolation. Now, there should be a lot more consolation because I should have done a lot better up until now. But even so, God has touched my life. There's nothing more important than God. So you must feel this too. And when you deny yourself, God will console you, knowing his power, to know his power inside you. It's very critical. But really, it's all about value judgment today. What's important to you? If the world's important to you, then live in the world. And you'll have the consolation of the world, but not of God. If God is important to you, then you must learn to deny the things that are ephemeral and passing away anyway. Now, that's a lot easier to do when everybody around you is doing it. But it's hard to do when hardly anybody is doing it. And even in the church, unfortunately, there are a lot of weak people who say a lot of things that are just heretical. Not heretical about the Trinity, but heretical about morality. They don't live in a moral way. And it's difficult to be around such people. So, we need the consolation of God. But by the way, the other reading for this Sunday from Hebrews is about the great high priest who knows our infirmities. So from two sides, the Lord consoles us. One, that he will show us his kingdom with power. Not later, now. If you're not feeling God in your life, if you don't feel the power of God in your life, you're doing something wrong. Now, God will help you with that, but I'm just telling you frankly. It's not all drudgery. It's not all hard work. It's not all deny, deny, deny. It's not about that at all. It's about loving God so much that other things just, they don't look palatable. They don't look interesting. They look deadly. Now, there's a part of us maybe that still wants a piece of those things, but our overwhelming love for God will keep us safe. So there's that. No having the power of God in our life. But some of us, I'd say probably most of us, are in a position that we're pretty weak, and we wonder, how can I ever be really good? Well, the Lord experienced our weakness. That's what Hebrews says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then what does the apostle say? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Why does he say that? Why does he say we should come boldly to the throne of grace because we have a great high priest who was tempted like we were, except did not sin? Well, the reason why is because when the Lord became man and lived the life of a perfect human being, he enabled us to live that life too. But he knows about our infirmities. He knows about temptation because he experienced it. Now, we always feel temptation with a great attraction to it. The Lord was tempted but not attracted to sin. something we don't quite understand. Except if you get older and you're fortunate, there are some things that you were attracted to when you were younger and you're not attracted to them anymore. Not only do you reject them as sin, but they're just not something that you want to do anymore. Well, the Lord was like that for all sin. He was tempted to be angry, to be bitter, to judge, but he wasn't attracted to the sin. And this is what is going to happen to us. That attraction to sin, the passions, they will go down. Eventually, in some people, they're obliterated completely even in this lifetime. And the reason why is because the Lord enables human nature by his life, and then through baptism, that's the conduit, that's the entrance to this ability, we are enabled to become good. So no matter what you're doing, no matter how messed up your day is or your life is or your week or your month, no matter how much you have failed, the Lord knows about temptation. And he will bring you out of that temptation if you believe. But he won't just if you sit there wishing. It has to be struggle. That's where the idea of taking up the cross is. Now, some people only associate the cross with this idea of some sort of terrible burden and torture. And of course, the cross was an instrument of torture. But when the Lord says, take up your cross, he's not referring to be willing to be martyred. What he's saying is, live as I lived. Give yourself to others. Think not of yourself. Love God with all your heart. And obey God. Because that's the only way that gives life. That's the only way that gives true happiness. Now, the world is immersed in heresy. We hear it everywhere now, that things that cannot bring happiness are lauded and promoted and enshrined even in law. But they cannot bring happiness. Immorality cannot bring happiness. Anger cannot bring happiness. Judging others, laziness, none of that can bring happiness. None of it. The only thing that can bring happiness is to have God in your heart. And you have God in your heart when you struggle to love him, and then he will help you. So no matter how good or bad you're doing, that's not really the critical thing. What's really critical is how good do you want to do? I've known people that are basically good people and far from God because they had no dependence on God whatsoever. They were good. They didn't get angry. They weren't lustful. They were very kind. They were very humble in the way they approached others, likable. Everything about them was good. And yet, they were far from God because they didn't depend on him for their every breath. On the other hand, I've known people that are irritable, irascible, have struggled with all kinds of sins, but they desire to change. God will help them, and they are much closer to God. I think we fit in that latter category, or we should fit in that latter category. So on this day of the cross, let's know what it means to take up the cross. It means to deny the things that are useless, ineffectual, and evil anyway. And it means to live according to the way our Lord Jesus Christ lived on the earth. To follow his example. But always keep in mind these two things that are juxtaposed in the readings today. Our Lord's humanity and his divinity. Because he is God and man. With his divinity, he will always help us. No matter how deeply enmeshed in sin we are, no matter how hard things seem to be, no matter how tired we get, no matter how much we wonder, is it ever going to change? Can I ever do this? Will this ever happen? All those kinds of thoughts that go on in our heads. No matter what, God will always help us because he can and he will. But also remember that our Lord knows our infirmities. He identifies with them. we're not alone. It's important for people not to feel alone. We're not alone. God will help us in our infirmities and bring us to perfection. But this is only possible if we submit to the way of the cross, which is His way, obedience, fidelity to what is right, having the courage to speak what is right. Don't forget that. That's very important in our day and age, because now all kinds of things that are wrong are being touted as right, and people who dare to speak out are being called names. Now, none of you like to be called names. And despite the little nursery rhyme, we really are hurt by names. And names will cause us, if we are weak, to put down our cross, to kind of blend in a little bit. You can't blend in. You have to stand up for the truth. But not only with your lips. It's even more important to stand up for the truth with the way you live. So may God help you to live a righteous way. Give up the things that are not good and strive to do those things that are good. Now, if you don't know all those things, or if you're having trouble being motivated about all those things, you got to make some changes. We talked about it before. Reading the scriptures, coming to the services, fasting. All those things are helpful. But if you don't have in your heart a desire to be with God and with God only, then you're going to continue to stumble. It's going to be difficult for you. But the great news of the gospel is, after the Lord tells us that to do all these difficult things, that they appear to be difficult, they're actually very joyous once we start doing them. But they're hard at the beginning, denying ourselves. After He tells us these things, and He's very, very firm and austere with us, then He says that we will see the kingdom of God come with power. It's a promise not just to His disciples, it's to us too. So remember that promise as you are struggling to follow the way of the cross. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.